Phoenix Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver announced yesterday he's selling both franchises as he is, quote, beginning the process of seeking buyers. The move comes a week after the NBA suspended Sarver for 1 year from all team-related activities and fined him $10 million for its findings in a workplace misconduct investigation within the Suns organization. The league found Sarver breeded a toxic work environment, making sex-related comments, remarking on female employees' bodies, and using racial slurs during his 17-year tenure. To talk about what the future of the Suns and Mercury could look like, including possible new owners, joined now by Brad Sesmat of Sports360AZ.com. Hey there, Brad.
Mark, Lauren, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. So I want to start with the timing of this. It was just a week ago that that the NBA levied its punishment on Sarver. A lot of folks said it wasn't enough. Are you surprised at the speed with which Sarver has come around to the idea of not being part of the Suns anymore?
Yes, Mark. I was very surprised yesterday. I was out on a hike in the Santan Mountains and my phone started to beep repeatedly. And it was Sarver selling. It's not a great place. I love the Santan Mountains, but that's where I always remember it. And look, I felt as though that the public outcry was going to push Robert at some point. I had figured that, and wrongly so, that he would disappear for the year. He would go through the rehabilitation through media, show up with Oprah, show up in some places, do some pro bono work, do community service, and move on. But obviously, that didn't happen. He did push back on the suspension, Mark and Lauren. If you remember last week, it did come out that he wasn't in favor of that suspension. And
Right. Maybe
Adam Silver, the commissioner, looked at it and said, I'm going to stand up here and take a lot of criticism that this isn't harsh enough, but I know what the end result is going to be in a short period of time. I do believe that that is out there.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because there has been some reporting that behind the scenes, some of the other owners and Silver himself were kind of pushing Sarver to maybe make this decision.
Sure. No, I do believe that to be true. And look, it's a very attractive franchise. If we're just talking about the Phoenix Suns in a warm weather climate in the winter when the NBA season gets started, the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be sold for $1.5 billion. The Suns are going to get $2 to $3 billion when this is all said and done. Robert bought the team for $401 million in 2004 from the Jerry Colangelo Group. I don't believe he'll get as high as Brooklyn at $3.3 billion back in 2019, but Robert's going to be just fine when it comes to making this sale. He is the one, along with this group, that will decide. And then the NBA, the Board of Governors, has to say, we approve. So there is a two-step process here. It isn't as simple as, this is who it's going to be, deal with it.
Would it be your expectation that there will be a totally new ownership group? Do you think that some of the minority owners that are currently with the Suns might be able to pony up some cash and just buy Sarver out?
I think that's a very fair question to ask in all of this. All the names that have come up early on, Bob Parsons and Artie Moreno from here in the Valley. Of course, Artie's trying to get himself out from under the Angels. But you have to look at, I think, Mark, you have to look at the professional athletes, because the investors are going to come in. They're going to be able to write a check. You know, Jeff Bezos and Bob Iger can write checks. That's fine. But if you have Larry Fitzgerald as your front person, and let's not forget, Larry was very close with Robert. Last time I had an interaction with Robert was in February, where he was Larry's caddy, of all things, at a golf tournament in Tucson. Carried the bag around. Charles Barkley, Diana Taurasi. Let's not underestimate the Mercury now, because the WNBA is finally starting to get some traction going nationally. Annie Myers-Drysdale is a front office executive with the Suns. So you have some names that I think, Lauren and Mark, you could see be front people. And then there will be the Steve Ballmer type that sits in the front row at the Clippers games and has his toy. And that's probably my biggest concern. Is this going to be a toy for somebody? Because there is a public trust. The decade of decline of the Suns between 2010 and 2020 was unacceptable just in basketball terms on the court. That should never have happened to this once proud franchise.
Well, and when you talk about the Suns in this community, I am not an Arizona native, but I've been here for a couple decades now, and it just feels like this franchise is, people feel it a little differently because maybe it was the original sports franchise here in the Valley. It's the oldest one by quite a bit. I wonder if, in your mind, that makes it maybe more important that at least there is a front person with Valley ties, as opposed to someone like Jeff Bezos, who comes in from out of state and owns the team and controls the team and really doesn't have any ties here.
Well, I think your point is valid, and I'm right there with you. I got here in 1993 and was immediately shocked at how much bandwidth and depth there was with the Phoenix Suns versus the NFL here in town. And people say this is a pro sports town. You have Arizona State over there doing things. The Diamondbacks with their facility, that's in question. I think the Diamondbacks ownership is going to be very interested to see who gets involved with the Suns ownership group. I would anticipate Ken Kendrick going down that path, but again, it's your next door neighbor. What does this do to the value of franchises? And yeah, having someone with Valley ties or a group with Valley ties, I do believe can happen. They just go buy it. They buy the franchise. They buy a place in Paradise Valley. They show up at a few games, but they're going to need to have that front person. I think when Fitz came on board, Mark, with Robert Sarver, it was a very smart move on Robert's part.
Right. So I want to ask you one more thing about Sarver's departure and sort of what he said yesterday. His statement, sure. I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't have it in front of me, but he basically said, you know, that he was hoping to use the 1 year suspension to try to, you know, learn from his mistakes, make amends, that kind of thing. But he basically said, you know, the culture is too unforgiving for that. And he realized that essentially, no matter what he did, it would never be enough. Was that the right tone to strike, do you think, given what the investigation revealed about him and the way that he behaved in the workplace?
I can't speak for Robert, but when I saw those quotes myself, I thought that was Robert Sarver. Robert Sarver has always been about, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. As I said earlier, Mark, I thought that he would just disappear for a year and then come back. But yeah, the public pressure, he did react in his way, which is very much how Robert Sarver operated and acted.
How much do you think money came into this? We heard that PayPal said that it wasn't going to come back to the Suns if Sarver was involved. That had to have played a role here, right?
Well, I believe that wouldn't have been the only one that left. You know, I don't have concrete proof of that, but there was enough swirling around, Mark, in town that there were going to be others that were lining up. And let's just talk about on the court. Starting Monday is media day. So right. This was going to be the question asked of Monty Williams, of James Jones, of Devin Booker, of Chris Paul, over and over. And whenever they went into another town, that was going to be the question. And so in one regard, one sense, this is a sigh of relief, I think, for the NBA to have Robert exiting. And for just the on-the-court product, which a lot of fans in this town, as you put earlier, they care about this team. It's a very good franchise in terms of the on-the-court product. The off-the-court has been going on for many, many years.
Right.
Okay. This investigation went back through his entire run here in Phoenix. So to put this behind them, there is that uncertainty. Okay. If it is an owner who comes in here and says, we're going to operate this as a business rather than an entertainment product, and you can do both.
Right.
But when it comes time to Devin Booker is going to get paid $58 million in the last year of his contract, is an owner going to say, why are we doing that exactly?
Right. All right, Brad, we'll have to leave it there. That is Brad Sesmat of Sports360AZ.com. Thank you so much for your insights.
Anytime.